Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 1. Looking at this morning, man's greatest need. Man's greatest need. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. And Brother Matthew, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by what? Bread alone. But by every what? Word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Brother Steve, could you bring up picture one? I don't know if you can see the numbers on it, but it should be some shelves. It was just 1.5 weeks ago, and things are changing, aren't they, so fast with this coronavirus situation. It seems like days can seem like months long, just things happen so fast. But it was just 1.5 weeks ago that the governor of Michigan announced that the public schools would be closing on Monday, which was this last Monday. And the morning before she made that announcement, the Lord just kind of impressed me to go to the grocery store because, I don't know, usually when the grocery store has their sales on, we kind of take advantage of the sales and kind of stock up our pantry. But the Lord just seemed to impress me, you need to get a few things because if things close down, you don't have much food in the pantry. And so I went in there and got some things. And I was back in the toilet paper section, and a lot of it was gone. It wasn't wiped out, but a lot of it was gone. That was on Thursday. So a week ago, this last Thursday, I was in there. And when the governor announced, I think that was Thursday afternoon, that on Monday, which is his last Monday, schools were going to close, like panic ensued. After that. So this at the grocery store, this is this last Tuesday. This is the toilet paper aisle as I saw it. I think people have tried brands of toilet paper that they've never tried in their lives because that's all that there was. And I mean, that thing was wiped, as you can see, it's wiped clean. It was just amazing. So Greenville experienced a gold rush some years ago. Down by, it'd be the railroad tracks on Lafayette. But it used to be like Mobile Audio was near there. But anyway, the railroad was doing some work on the railroad tracks in there, and they were digging and replacing tracks, and a boy found a gold coin in the dirt piles. And that started the Greenville Gold Rush. And they found a lot of gold coins. I forget the year of them, but gold coins. And so we always wondered if that was Chief Wabas's payment from, I don't know if it was Kent County or the state of Michigan, but Chief Wabas's of Wabas's Lake fame there received a payment from the state of Michigan for the Indians' ground. And a funny thing is the rest of his tribe, no one ever seemed to get any of that gold. So that's the legend. Where did Chief Wabasas bury his gold? Well, no one ever found it out there, but the closest place is the railroad tracks there at Greenville. Someone stashed some gold coins there. But that began the Greenville gold rush, and eventually the railroad stopped them, saying they were undermining the tracks. I mean, people in the city were down there digging, and they had screens set up, and they were screening the dirt and trying to find more gold coins. It was crazy. Well, in the last week and a half, not only Greenville, but the whole United States has experienced the toilet paper rush instead of the gold rush. I mean, it's crazy. So that was on Tuesday. So this was the day after school was officially closed for now, until April 15th, maybe extended, we don't know. So I began to consider this. Okay, wow, this is really something. We may be stuck in our homes. Quarantine, I don't know how many weeks we can get out, but this is what was hit. Now, I don't know if you found the numbers, Brother Steve, but if you did, picture number two. If not, we'll just see what we come up with here with next. The computer's working, I can see. We're having trouble with that computer this morning trying to get it to show these pictures. There it goes. This is on the other side of the toilet paper shelves. It's the bread aisle. This was the same time I took the picture on the other side. On the other side, the toilet paper you saw is wiped out. This is the bread aisle. Now, to the right of that picture is more bread aisle. And, I would say it roughly about half of the bread was there. I mean, so I'm not showing you some empty shelves of bread, but can you imagine that? People maybe stuck in their homes and the toilet paper is totally gone, but bread, there's a lot of bread left. It made me think, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So I began to look at other things in the store. Can we go to the next picture, picture three? I thought, wow, there's lots of lettuce. This was taken at the same time we were at the store. And then the next frame, lots of lettuce. I mean, I am not a lettuce lover. I just told you that in a previous service. But, you know, hey, if I was hungry, I'd rather eat lettuce than toilet paper. Amen? Okay? So lots of lettuce. And in fact, as you look on down through there, there was a lot of other vegetables. So I look here, limes, lemons, onions, cucumbers, peppers, apples. I mean, there's a lot of times when there's less apples than that. This is at the same visit to the grocery store. Look, and so I'm pondering this. People with the thought of panic, everything may be closed down. Like the schools, the stores may close. What should I get? Toilet paper! Forget the food. Toilet paper is what we need. What happened? What happened? When people were faced with the panic of not being able to visit the store, the toilet paper rush started. And I thought, what is driving this phenomena? I think people... Could we go back to picture number one? Well, the toilet paper. What happened in the last week and a half? I think a lot of people who who panicked in this aisle and filled their cart. I think if you were to ask them today why they did that instead of food, I don't think they could answer, really. I don't think they'd be able to answer. Now, I know since that day, people have wiped out a lot of food, but I think when faced with the loss of all things, first and foremost, people evidently wanted to be clean. Even before their appetite, driven to the point of panic, thinking, I can't go to the store, what do I need the most? I need to be clean, even more than my food. And it made me think of this Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." It's too bad if we could go to let's go there for a second. John chapter 5. Let's see here. I'm having a mental block here. It'll probably come to me in a minute. With the governors closing down their states to various degrees, there's a power struggle beginning. And in that power struggle, the governors are talking about closing down all non-essential businesses and services. And last evening I received an email from Best Buy, and it was saying that they were going to remain open, but they're closing their stores for customers inside, and it's going to be, well, you can order online, but if anybody actually comes to the store, it's going to be curbside service. And so if you want something out of the store, you're going to have to tell one of the employees. They'll go get it for you. They'll take your payment, whatever form it is. And that's the way they're going to be doing it. And I noticed that on the email, it said this: "You, the customers, have shown Best Buy to be an essential business by the fact you're coming here to get things you need." And so I can see what they're gearing up. If the governor says, all right, department stores, whatever their electronic stores are closed down, Best Buy is going to say, no, we are an essential business. A lot of people are home working. We tried to get a device here so we could stream the service to those who couldn't come, but I talked to Best Buy, I think it was Thursday morning, and they said, yeah, we got lots of those down here. I said, okay. I got down there in the evening, and I asked for one of the things, and he says, I'm sorry, we don't have any. And I said, but I just called this morning. He said, you had lots of them. And he says, I know, but he says, a lot of people are being told to work from home, and they've got to get online, so they bought them all up. So I come home, and online it said they had one at the Walker store. You can have it tomorrow. So I ordered it, but you have to wait for the confirmation email that it's ready. I never got it, so I called them Friday afternoon late, and they said, can't have them until Wednesday. So we'll see if that happens. But Best Buy in a lot of places are going to be, this power struggle is going to be like, hey, I want to stay open. I am an essential business. I need to be open. Now, I'll tell you something. If you owned a toilet paper store, that is an essential business. I mean, well, it's gone there now, but that definitely, for a fact, is an essential business. And for all of you who are invested in the stock market, you know now where to put your money. It's in the toilet paper business. It doesn't matter what happens in America, that will remain strong, no doubt about it. So when faced with great loss, it was not food. It was man thought about his uncleanness. And, you know, you think about the church. There's a lot of talk about churches, too. Like, oh, churches are not essential, so need to close them down. Those are just places to spread germs. Well, the church is more essential than a grocery store. Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The church knows that a terrible time of quarantine and isolation is coming. Much worse than now. And I mean much worse than whatever level this gets to. I mean, I know Italy is in a bad way. A lot of talk about you can't trust what China has said. But what China has said, the numbers China has given, more people have died now in Italy than in China, if you believe what the Chinese say about numbers. So how bad is it going to be? I mean, in Italy, I just read that, you know, they were allowing people at least to go outside and walk and ride their bikes. Now, no. You cannot go outside the house in Italy. So how bad will this get? I don't know how bad will it get, but it will not get as bad as the church knows is coming. There is a time of isolation coming that is going to be what? Eternal. When people are cast into hell. Because they did think about food and toilet paper more than the word of God. And so they're going to be cast into hell forever and ever and ever. So I think what happened in the last week and a half, I don't think even the people realize it yet. But in the moment of panic and being isolated, their number one concern was, I want to be clean. I want to be clean. And you know what? When we face God, that's going to be more important than food or cars or anything. Being clean. Notice in Isaiah 6. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one having six wings. With twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of what? Unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of what? Unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When Isaiah saw the Lord, the first thing that hit him was not, Lord, I'm hungry. Or, Lord, you know, I might miss a payment on my car or house or whatever. The first thing that Isaiah thought about was what? Woe is me, I am unclean. I am unclean. And so this phenomena, what we witnessed this week, might be a good witnessing tool for us. Because I think most people have no clue why they did that. No clue. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Isaiah 1:18. The Bible says, Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your what? Sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? As white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So here is where the church is essential. It is an essential service. It's essential in the fact that if people are not clean, if they don't have their sins forgiven, they are going to face the one true and holy God, and that's going to be the main thing on their mind when they face Him, is my uncleanness. Nothing else is going to matter at that point. And so God is trying to reason with people. Isaiah 1:18. So let us reason with people. along the same line. We need cleansing first and foremost. Let's look at Psalm 14. Psalm chapter 14. In Psalm 14, in verse 3, Psalm 14, 3. They are all gone aside. They are all together become what? Filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So we need to get across that message. Maybe we'll be talking to someone that did the same foolish thing. Thought about toilet paper before food. Why did you do that? I don't know. Maybe there's something inside of you, deep down inside of you, that you're trying to squelch, you're trying to push out of your thoughts and heart and mind that you've sinned against God. You need forgiveness. Notice in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. The Bible says, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and what? Sinneth not." No matter how much man wants to pat himself on the back, and we got all this kind of self-esteem, and man thinks he's pretty good. But in the moment of panic, in the moment of thinking of going into isolation, in the moment of thinking, I'm not going to be able to get out. I'm going to be stuck just with myself. I'm stuck here, and I don't know how long. Man could only think about being clean, not unclean. And oh, how much more that is going to be in regard to in eternity. And that's why the church is essential in this time, to help people to realize what they're doing and why, and that we are filthy in the sight of God, and we need cleansing. And what is the cure for the coronavirus? 2 Chronicles 7:13. 2 Chronicles 7:13. I was reading what a doctor in Italy was saying. And a doctor in Italy was saying, if our country wouldn't have been worried so much about political correctness, we wouldn't be facing the extreme cases we're seeing. Do you know what China did? When President Trump closed down our flights to China, do you know what happened over in Italy at that same time? A mayor of one of those major cities over there was extremely upset about what President Trump had done. And she called it racist. He was racist. And she did a hashtag thing for Twitter saying, "Hug a Chinese." And so China really loved Italy's take on that, and so people were flying from China to Italy. Hug a Chinese. And that doctor saying, you know, if we wouldn't have been so politically correct, we wouldn't be facing the extreme cases that we're facing right now. 2 Chronicles 7:13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send what? Pestilence among my people. And we're going to be looking in a little bit later there the definition of pestilence. But verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I what? Hear from heaven and will forgive what? Their sin and will what? Heal their land. That's the cure. If you've read the little gospel tract, I believe God sent this pestilence on Wuhan because of the thing that the Chinese leaders did. Last summer, before those military world games were held in Wuhan, China, they closed down the churches in that area. They ripped all crosses down. They were trying to remove Christ and the cross from that whole area. And so what did they get in the place? A horrible pestilence that's spread across the world. And isn't that just what happened in the Garden of Eden? And of course, from Peking University, the scientists did some genetic analytics on that, and even though there's a lot of contrary opinions, they came up with, they traced it to the snake meat being sold in that meat market in Wuhan. And I'll tell you something, if you remove Christ and the cross, that's what you do. You let Satan have his way in his reign. And that's exactly what happened, the pestilence. And just like in the Garden of Eden, Satan came in there and he tricked Eve. Eve sinned. Sin passes to Adam. It passes to all of us. We're all sinners in Romans 5:12. We're all sinners. So the church is essential in this hour to show people, listen, you don't even realize what you did. But let me tell you why you did it. Because when you face your end, the only thing that's going to matter to you is, are you clean? Have your sins been forgiven? Food's not going to mean anything in that day. Let's go to Psalm 38. Psalm 38. We need to be brought to our knees and see our sin. In Psalm 38:18, the Bible says, "For I will declare what? Mine iniquity. I will be what? Sorry for my sin." Sin has made, excuses are made for sin today. Oh yeah, if Jesus was here, he'd do this or he'd do that. No, he wouldn't. I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. Notice in Acts 26 and verse 20, we need a great calling for repentance. There was a man who wrote in several weeks ago, and it was this thing about repentance. And so I answered him, and a lengthy explanation. And he wrote back, and he's just one of these contemporary professing Christians that think there should be no difference in a Christian's life. Well, Acts 26:20. But showed first unto them where? Of Damascus. So we're talking in a Gentile area. And at where? Jerusalem. Now we're talking about heavy Orthodox Jewish. And throughout all what? Coast of Judea. So in between. And then to who? The Gentiles. So it doesn't matter. Gentiles, Jews, in the places in between, Samaritans, which would be Gentiles, that they should what? Repent and turn to God and what? Do works meet for repentance. You know, time is running out. We've seen the locust plague taking place in Africa, in India, and in Asia, now headed for China. It's in Iran, the locust plague. We shared with you recently these rivers in various places have been turning red, and no one seems to know why. And so we talked about, will God actually return some likenesses of the plagues before his coming? He wouldn't have to. There's no signs that are necessary. The Lord could come at any moment. His coming is imminent. But we talked in great detail about God is so long-suffering. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. And you know what? He may do that very thing. He may bring about some plagues. And this here, this coronavirus, this has been since we talked about that. There's going to be some pestilences in the last times as well. Notice in Matthew 24. Now, none of these things have to happen before Jesus comes. But you know what? The Lord Jesus wants all to be saved. And so it would be just like him to give some of these biblical illustrations again. And as I talked about, I gave you several quotes from very liberal news media sources referring to the locust as a biblical plague. I mean, we're talking about people that don't even believe the Bible. We're talking about news organizations that go out of their way to scoff and ridicule and make conservatives look bad. They are the ones saying biblical plague. I wonder if they believe the Bible now. They're referencing it. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed, that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, and what? Pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are what? The beginning of sorrows." I told you I'd look at that definition of pestilence. The Bible says here that there would come famines and pestilences. Pestilence, according to Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, means a contagious or infectious epidemic disease. A contagious or infectious epidemic disease. Is that not what coronavirus is? Yes, it is. It's very contagious, infectious. There's a newer revision of the tract now dealing with. They're saying the coronavirus is a lower respiratory disease versus an upper respiratory. An upper respiratory, they list it as being like the common cold, more like the sinus congestion, runny nose, and I know some runny nose can be one of the early things of the coronavirus, but they're saying a regular cold is an upper respiratory, it's more in your sinuses and so on, but the coronavirus is a lower respiratory dealing with the lungs, and that's why so many people are dying of it, because it deals with the lungs. So the tribulation period is going to be filled with pestilences. Notice in Revelation 7. Revelation 7 and verse 9. Revelation 7, verse 9. So the tribulation filled with pestilences. And so what's going to be the need of the hour to be clean? Revelation 7, 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with what? White robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them what? White in what? The blood of the Lamb. These were people who were saved out of great tribulation. So we know no one's going to enter the tribulation who is saved. So these are all people who are saved in the tribulation period. And in that terrible time, they come to get washed in the blood of the Lamb. They come to get cleansed. So in this time of this coronavirus, may God help us to realize, it's kind of what Pastor Jeremy said in Sunday school today, This is not a time to cower. This is a time to use wisdom. We don't want people to panic by approaching them. So we want wisdom. But there are a lot of opportunities. I mean, they're willing to take your cash. They're willing to take your credit card. They're willing to touch those things. They're willing to touch a lot of things. There's a lot of instances where we can give them a gospel tract, and we can talk to them personally, and we can mail things to them. But let's use this. Even in the tribulation period, people were made white in the blood of the Lamb. And in this time of the coronavirus, well, we know. Brother Steve, could you take us back to that? Empty shelves. Man's desires in the moment of panic emptied the shelves of the toilet paper aisle. And could he go to one of the food ones? Look at all that food. The exact same day. They snubbed all of that to buy a toilet paper. Something down deep within them, they'd rather be, if they do without something, they'd rather be hungry than unclean. And let's remember, because we can't always see that, but their greatest need is cleansing. May God help us to reach them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the church is essential. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, it is essential. Helping people to understand they can't be clean by their own good works. They can't be clean by their baptism. They can't be clean by giving money. They can only be clean through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He being God in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross, bearing all of our filthy, rotten sin, bearing that in his body on the tree, and then was buried and rose again in victory because his blood, his pure and sinless blood, indeed was sufficient to wash away the sin of the world. I pray, Father, if there should be any here this morning that have never been saved, that they would come to the Lord Jesus Christ today in repentance and faith and receive him as Savior. Lord, may we see a great awakening, a great revival in our land. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to 170.